Now, some of you may have noticed, some of you may have remarked already, that this parable of the drunken man and the jewel is somewhat similar to one of the parables with which we've already dealt in this series. It's rather similar to the parable or the myth of the return journey. And there are several parallels between the two parables. In both of the parables, the hero, if we can call him that, goes away to a distant country. In both the parables, the hero suffers hardship in the distant country on account of poverty. And in both the parables, the hero ends up possessed of riches that had really been his all the time. So there is this similarity. There are these parallels. At the same time, between these two parables, there are important differences. And these differences are quite significant. In one parable, you have a father and a son. In the other, you have two friends. So in the first, the fact that there's a father and a son, a sort of senior and a junior. Whereas in the latter, in the second parable, there are two friends. Friends, of course, are sort of equal. The fact that in the first parable you have a father and a son suggests, as it were, a greater, a more extreme degree of alienation. But there's an even more important difference. You may remember that in the parable of the return journey, the poor man, after he comes back home and is recognized by his father, though he doesn't recognize his father himself, the poor man is made familiar with riches gradually. He's gradually introduced to them. He learns to go in and out of the rich man's house without any fear. And then he's made manager and he handles all the riches, the treasures. Becomes accustomed to this and starts thinking of riches himself. And then he is told that really they are all his because he is, in fact, the rich man's long-lost son. But in the parable of the drunken man and the jewel, it isn't like that. In this parable, the transition is much more abrupt. The friend comes along, and he tells the man at once, without beating about the bush, that he's rich. He says, the jewel is there in your clothing, without any sort of introduction or preamble. So this means that in the second parable, one instant, as it were, the man is poor, destitute, suffering. The next instant, he's rich, he's a millionaire. The very next instant. So there's a very important, a profound difference here between the two parables. And the difference corresponds, we may say, to two different approaches to the spiritual life, two different methods. Two different methods that may be used by the teacher or the guru. That is to say, the gradual method and the sudden method. In the gradual method, the disciple, the pupil, is led step by step. The teacher says, as it were, don't strain yourself too much, or don't bother about nirvana or enlightenment. Just think in terms of steadying your mind and being peaceful and enabling yourself to work better, enjoy life more, and so on. Step by step he leads him, and only right at the end, after maybe many years, he starts talking about nirvana, enlightenment, and so on. But in the second method, the teacher, the guru, confronts the disciple, confronts the pupil with the ultimate truth, with the absolute truth, immediately. He doesn't give him any chance to prepare. Doesn't give him any introduction, any preamble. He just says, well, this is it. It's right here. It's this. Now, whether the teacher, whether the guru uses one method or the other, the gradual one, or the sudden one, the abrupt one, depends entirely on the temperament of the pupil. If the pupil is a bit easygoing, if he's a bit immersed in the things of the world, then obviously the gradual method. But if he's a more heroic type, If he can stand the shock, then all right, the guru doesn't hesitate to use the abrupt method and the sudden method and tell him everything, as it were, all at once. We can say also that the difference corresponds to the difference between the two paths, as they're called. That is to say, the path of vision on the one hand and the path of transformation on the other, about which I spoke at length in the series on the Buddha's Noble Eightfold Path. The path of vision is the initial spiritual experience. The path of transformation is the working out of that experience in terms of every aspect of one's life, the application of that experience to every aspect of one's life. So, in the path of vision, what happens is that one sees, even if it's only for an instant, just for a flash, one sees that one has the jewel, that you are the jewel. Whereas, in the path of transformation, you, as it were, adjust your life gradually to the fact that you have that jewel, that you are in possession of that jewel. We can say that the two aspects, the two paths, are rather like what happens when it happens that you suddenly inherit a large sum of money, or you win it, say, in the football pools or something like that. Someone tells you, you get a telegram maybe or a solicitor's letter, that you've got £500,000. So that's the first news. You see, what a shock. What a surprise. Just overnight in a matter of minutes, you're rich, incredibly rich. So what happens after that? Slowly, gradually, you adjust, you readjust, you reorganize your life as the possessor of those riches. Maybe you move into a bigger house, maybe buy a better car, and so on. Everything starts changing because now you are rich. So it's just the same with the path of vision and the path of transformation. You have that vision. You have that spiritual experience. You see that you have the jewel, that you are the jewel, as were in one flash, one instant. But it takes a long time to sort of work it out in detail and to readjust and reorient and reorganize your whole life around that supreme fact, around that supreme experience. You don't get around to doing it immediately, not in its entirety. Just like when you inherit that money, you don't all at once start buying this and buying that. You may be so stunned for a while, you've got all that money in the bank, you may not know what to do for several days or even weeks. You may be just so overwhelmed by that experience. So it's just like that with the path of vision. You may be so overwhelmed by this great spiritual experience, you don't know what to do with it. And it may be for a while you're just the same as you were before, your usual crude self. And it's only after a while, little by little, that you start changing, being transformed in the light of that great experience.